broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
What would you have a problem with, Governor, in terms of an anti-discrimination?
Yeah, this existence sounds absolutely horrific.
I've met, yes, Muslim children, but I don't have actually any contact.
Do you think, politically, we're going backwards on this issue?
Barbaric! It's lonely here. There's no one left to torture. World famous Phil Hendry Show every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. I don't know what it is you're used to listening to at night. This is the only radio show to listen to, and I'll tell you why. It isn't because we're a common sense show. It isn't because we're lauding the nation from sea to shining sea, although we love our country. It isn't because we are, you know, bringing some light to an otherwise liberalized and further socialized country or any kind of jazz like that. All we care about is what the hell is going on and then what's the answer to the problem, okay? And we don't feel like, you know, hanging around and twiddling our thumbs and screwing around and making hay while the sun shines, which means basically making money at the expense of figuring out what's happening. See, I don't mind being rich, okay, but I don't want to be rich in a country that's ripping itself apart because people are either misinformed or disinformed or just too stupid to understand that they are being disinformed and misinformed. And meanwhile, the guys that are feeding them stuff that they know isn't true are making out like bandits, right? Now, either you want to know what's happening or you don't. See, I make money doing this. You listen to me. You don't make any money listening to me. You get a little bit of entertainment, hopefully. Maybe you glean a little bit of information. Maybe. Perhaps you get a laugh every now and again. I mean, as information and laughs go, this show provides more than any other show, to be honest with you, because unfortunately, I've heard the other shows, and it's just, I mean, first of all, you're getting a big, big fat dose of horse crap. Secondly, these guys that think they're funny, they're not. Thirdly, they're about as conservative or liberal as, your average opportunist careerist is. So on some days, it's great to be a conservative. On other days, well, maybe the audience wants to hear me a little more progressive. So I'll just change my opinion and my moods to suit however much money I can make today and however much advertising I can sell, right? So that's what's happening to you. I hope you realize that. I hope you understand that. Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, Oberfuhrer, Maddow, Matthews, you name it. I don't care who you're talking about. Those people that I just mentioned and all of the people in the broadcast business are more likely to lie through their teeth to you than any politician you can think of, including Obama. How does that make you feel? For a lot of you guys, I know you don't like Obama, and I understand. A lot of you don't like Bush. I understand that. Are you aware of the fact that those guys tell more truth on any given day than half of the people that you may tune in and rely on for information and for opinion making and for, you know, for the real way of how things are? Do you understand that that's the kind of smoke and horse dung that's being blown up your skirt and thrown in your face? Well, that's what this show is here to try to not correct. This is the antidote to that, man. Or if you will, this is just an alternative to that. I mean, you don't have to if you don't want to, but I mean, we've got stuff that's going on. For instance, we'll give an example here. Great White Hope comment, not about Obama. Here is a story of a Kansas congresswoman. She says a recent comment about fellow Republicans seeking a, quote, Great White Hope was not a reference to someone who could challenge President Barack Obama's political agenda. Representative Lynn Jenkins used the phrase during an August 19th forum as she discussed the Republican Party's future and tried to reassure members that the GOP has promising young leaders. Someone in the crowd recorded video of the event in Hiawatha, Kansas, about 65 miles northeast of Topeka, and gave it to the Kansas Democratic Party. Republicans are struggling right now to find the great white hope, Jenkins said last week. I suggest to any of you who are concerned about that, who are Republicans, there are some great young Republican minds in Washington. Now, this is Representative Lynn Jenkins. Now, guys, believe me when I tell you, if she made a mistake, I'm perfectly willing to believe that she made a mistake. I'm willing to believe that even though she's a Kansas congresswoman who works in Washington, who is supposed to know a little bit about her country and maybe a little bit of the history of her country and, you know, what's going on, maybe a little bit more, for instance, than the rest of us do, it's a little surprising to me that she doesn't know the origin of the term Great White Hope. Great White Hope comes to us from the early part of the 20th century when they were looking for a prize fighter to knock out Jack Johnson, who was at that time the heavyweight champion of the world. He was the heavyweight champion of the world, and he was black. I think it was Jack Johnson. Look it up, will you, bud?
Yeah, it might have been Jack Jefferson or some Jefferson or, you know, black name.
Yeah, that's right, a black name. Anyway, they were looking for the great white hope, somebody to come along and put the black man in his place, or more to the point, maybe not to put the black man in his place, but more to the point to get a white man back into the ring as a world champion, as a heavyweight champion, right? Okay. Now, that is a fact, and I don't care what anybody has to say to you about it that may be contrary to what I've just told you. You can believe me and not them. You can find out, and don't go to Wankipedia because you, please, folks, I'm just telling you, Wankipedia is fine, but you ain't going to get any information there that is state of the art. You have to go and look into the history of prize fighting and check out and see, and you'll know that what I'm saying is true. It is a term that originated in a discussion of race in the sporting world. We got this big black buck who's the heavyweight champ. We got to get a white man. Let's get a white man. Let's go, go, go. Get a white man. Now, she may not have meant that. And she may be very indignant today that people would even assume that why is it people can't say things? You can say anything you want, Representative Jenkins. Do you think anybody's telling you you can't say it? You know, here's the kind of candy-ass world we live in these days. You say something dumb, and I'm supposed to say the following. Well, it was dumb, but I understand that you said a dumb thing, and I should forget that you said a dumb thing, and I'll go ahead and listen to the rest of what you're saying, because you're really, really smart otherwise, right? Now, I wouldn't know Lynn Jenkins, man, if she dropped dead in front of me. I may or I may not call 911, 911. I don't know what I would do. 911, it sounds weird calling it 911. It's like the time, you know.
Yeah, it's now 911.
Okay, in any event, she's running for, she's in the Congress, and she's making a speech, and we'll play the clip for you if you'd like to hear it. Do I think it's outrageous? No, I don't think it's necessarily outrageous. Do I think it's stupid? Yeah, I think it's stupid. I would never use that phrase. And I'm not the brightest guy in the world. I know what it means, great white hope. It means a great white-skinned hope. It doesn't mean great white hope as in shining light. It doesn't mean great white hope as in just a figure of speech having to do with something that isn't racial. No. It means what it sounds like it means. The great white hope was a fond desire of sporting fans at the turn of the 20th century to defeat this black champion, who was not only the heavyweight champion of the world, but he was a Muhammad Ali of his time. You know, in his own way. I mean, Jack Johnson was driving around in Rolls Royces or whatever the hell passed for a good car in those days. He had white girlfriends. He was staying in the best suites, in the greatest hotels. He had diamond rings. He was feted in Europe. They loved his ass everywhere. And in America, they couldn't, some of these people couldn't take the fact there was a black champion. So, great white hope. Now, two things, and this is really hard for people to understand. I find that this is very difficult for people to understand. You can do anything you want. You can say anything you want. You can be anything you want, right? But if you're in the Republican Party right now, if you're Michael Steele, if you're anybody who's a serious Republican, and, you know, as much as I may admire the people like, you know, Rush Limbaugh, who's a conservative and maybe not necessarily Republican, you know, Rush Limbaugh is a conservative, and that's a segment of our society that is going to follow the kinds of things that he follows regardless. But the Republican Party is broader than just that conservative wing. The Republican Party has a moderate wing. And I'm telling you, as I have said for weeks and weeks and weeks, if not months and months and months, this woman Jenkins and other examples that we could bring up that you've already heard are indicative of what's really there. What's the protein, man? You know, what's the marrow in the bone of this Republican base right now? I mean, this is the best they got. These people are uneducated when it comes to the facts of American society. They are insular, which means they don't really get around and press the flesh with all kinds of people. Otherwise, she would never use a phrase like that any more than some of these stupid bastards would be sending out mailers with racial jokes in them. Every day, we are treated, it seems, to some misstatement that betrays an ignorance of the country. Forget about whether the guy has a right to say it. Go ahead and say whatever you want, man. Say the N-word. Go shout it out in an airport someplace. Doesn't make any difference to me. I don't care. Walk right up to a guy and call him an N-word if you want to, or even less, use Great White Hope, or maybe something that isn't quite that bad. Why don't you manufacture a doll with a banana and a monkey? Everything's good. It's fine. You can do what you want. It's America. It is a free country. But let me tell you something about this freedom. I don't have to vote for you because I don't want to cast a vote for somebody that is a parochial idiot like you. You understand what I'm saying? If you are a Republican Party and you're saying to me you want to be a big tent party, well, then you better get serious and you better take either a flamethrower or a machine gun or whatever it is you use, a big vacuum cleaner, and suck all of the garbage out of your party. And I say garbage advisedly. I don't mean garbage like low morals and just rotten to the core, but I mean the dead weight that's killing you people from the inside out. Do you understand? Because if you're telling me that some stupid broad like this Jenkins from Kansas, this so-called congresswoman, comes out with a statement like that, and it shouldn't matter, I got news for you, whether you like it or not, whether you think it's right or not, whether you want it to be or not, it does matter. People hear it, and some people don't like what it sounds like, and they decide, you know what, you can take your big tent party, and you can stick it along with the pole where the sun doesn't shine. Now, here is the congresswoman from Kansas. She was in a place called Hiawatha, Lynn Jenkins, and we're going to roll off some of the low end here so you can hear the comments.
And Republicans are struggling right now to find the Great White Hope. I suggest to any of you that are concerned about that, that are Republicans, there are some great young Republican minds in Washington. Of course, the ones I'm most familiar with are on the House side.
All right, now, what happens when you have another idiot in a long line of them embarrassing your party because they happen to be a party functionary or a representative of some kind of the Republican Party? What happens? Well, Obersturmfuhrer and Maxine Waters, who has never seen a microphone that she doesn't want to just slather with saliva, they start weighing in.
Shouldn't there be some consequence to this congresswoman other than being exposed as somebody who either doesn't care that she sounds racist or doesn't know what this very famous phrase really actually means?
What we're going to do is we're going to attempt to allow her to defend her remarks in any way that she wants to, but the truth will come out. They will define themselves. They can't help it.
God.
And I think what we should do is sit back and watch them that the American people can see what we're really up against.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the president would like it that way. He would not like to engage them in the discussion about their racist remarks.
All right, so that's Maxine Waters. And then we have further commentary on this story, which people are going to want to be heard. And here is Representative Waters expressing her concern over race in the country.
Do you think politically we're going backwards on this?
This is Maxine Waters with the low voice.
In the last 7 months that have made me as a white guy ashamed, absolutely ashamed of what I've seen. Are we going backwards or forwards now?
Well, I'm concerned. I'm concerned about some of what I see and some of what I hear, and I hope that they don't trigger a response from people who want to, get at them and show them that they can't get away with that kind of discussion, that kind of talk. So I'm concerned. I'm very much concerned about it.
All right, so that's Maxine Waters, and she's talking with Keith Obersturmfuhrer there on the MSNBC, whatever the hell it is he does over there, and they're talking about it, she's doing what she ought to do. She's going to make a big thing out of this. But this is a pattern. This is a pattern among these Republicans. And the reaction is the following. They don't see the truth of what's happening here, that the so-called base of their party has gotten coalesced or it has been distilled down to this core of rather ignorant and, decidedly European-American and really parochial and insular and hermetically sealed people who defend their stupidity, by attacking the person who is in full possession of the facts. I mean, I know what great white hope means. You can't get around it. If you're too dumb to know, then don't open your big fat yap and use the term, period. If you don't know what watermelon means, shut your mouth. If you don't know what chicken means, if you don't know what a banana and a monkey means in relation to a little black baby in a crib, well, then open your ears and learn something. Otherwise, keep your big fat yap shut because you got nothing to say. And there's even a bigger point to make. Ain't nobody want to vote for you. You understand? Take a look at what happened in the fall of 2008. What happened to your party? If you think it's because Republicans were spending too much money, friend, that's just the beginning. That's the tip of the iceberg. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show coming up at 877-876-PHIL. An Idaho politician, he goes about his business joking about hunting President Obama. Hunting President Obama. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. We're talking about the great white hope that the congresswoman there from Kansas hopes comes along to take down the Democrats. I don't read that as, you know, she wants to take down Obama. She's just in the back of her mind, Obama's a black guy, and suddenly great white hope slipped out, and she didn't mean for it to slip out, but probably in her life, a whole lot of stuff has slipped out, if you'll pardon the expression.
Yeah, probably a tampon when she's like,
will you shut up about a tampon?
Yeah, but she's on dance on the dance floor.
If she's dancing on the dance floor, what?
A tampon slip out.
That's not what we're talking about. Do you understand me? 877-876-PHIL. Don't forget we're on Twitter at twitter.com/RealPhilHenry. And you can also go to Facebook, facebook.com/PhilHenry. And go to our website where right now we are streaming live video and audio. Here is Todd in Bloomington, Illinois. Todd, what's on your mind tonight?
Oh, hey, Phil. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
What I told your call screener was, it's kind of off topic for the night, but I just, I've been waiting a while to call you out on just trying to be all things to all people. And what I mean by that is that you're really good at trying to keep liberals and conservatives happy. You just kind of, you throw things out there, just key words and phrases that make.
So when I say to the Republicans that their party is shot to hell, that they've got a core of racists running it, I'm being nice to conservatives. I'm saying that I'm saying something nice. And when I say to liberals that they're a gutless breed, not taking advantage of the opportunity they have to lead the country, I'm saying something nice to liberals, huh?
Well, no, I don't complain. I don't claim the Republicans at all. That's fine. I'm a conservative. So
I've talked about conservatives too, that they are completely. You talk about a group of people, and I've said this many times. You talk about a group of people that are completely unrooted in reality, that are living in outer space and fantasy land. That's the conservative group. In fact, you guys are no different from progressives. You're living in the same fantasy land, the same amusement park.
No. I'm talking the Constitution and limited government. And, you know, I've heard you say things like
Constitution and limited government. I understand that. Yeah, yeah, I know.
You talk about giving Obama his fair shake, you know, with this whole...
That's exactly right. Yeah. I want my country to succeed, man. I don't want to sit here from the peanut gallery and throw crap on every guy that sits in that chair.
Well, I'm sorry, but nothing that he's been doing has worked at all, and it's just not...
Yes, it has. Yeah, you don't... See, that's another thing. How do I argue with a guy that doesn't have facts? You have no facts. Nothing. You know why you call yourself a conservative, Todd? You call yourself a conservative so you don't have to argue the points. You call yourself a conservative because you think that makes the argument for you. Tell me how his program hasn't succeeded. I want to know.
Which program?
Saying that, but nothing that he has done hasn't succeeded.
He's
okay, give me some information. I need information, man. I'm not going to take your word for it.
Well, I'm just saying he took over the, you know, GM and Chrysler only to throw out this whole cash for clunkers thing that was also a failure.
That's why. So GM and Chrysler didn't come to him begging for money.
Well, that's fine. Anybody who comes begging for money...
No, whoa. They came actually to the Congress. Did they go to Obama? Did they knock on Obama's door? Did they come to the Congress and say they needed money?
No, everybody knows that Obama is, he's the figurehead and he is the mouthpiece. And, you know,
no, not everybody knows. Only you and the people you hang out with. So now I want to get a direct answer from you. Did the Chrysler and GM people come to the federal government and ask for money?
They did. They did indeed. And I
asked
for a lot of things in my life, but it's not an automatic, you know.
So in other words, Obama made the mistake of bailing out GM and Chrysler. So that was wrong. But now you're saying he did it on purpose somehow?
No. You're sidetracking me here, Phil. All I was trying to do was call you to task about the way, you know.
Look, man, I don't like you any more than I like progressives. I think all of you hate the country. I think you'd rather be a conservative than see the country succeed.
No.
I'm an American. I'm not in a club. Now go back and daisy chain with the rest of your conservative friends. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL every night here at the El Pacifico, where we give you a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show. I can't say it any more plain than that. I can't give it to you any more direct than that. Truth. Now, have I got a corner on the truth market? No, but I mean, I'm always looking for what's real, man, not what I'm going to be comfortable believing. There's a big difference. Now, it wouldn't make any difference, per se, if it wasn't for the fact that country's got some problems. And to say that smaller government is always the answer, that's what the conservative wing of American brilliance is telling us, right? And what does the liberal wing of American brilliance tell us? That America's government, the resource of government, constantly monitoring every single solitary little stub toe and ingrown pubic hair, that's the answer, so that there isn't anywhere any misery, suffering, any struggle whatsoever. Utopia is possible. We can do it. All we have to do is make sure that Big Brother monitors all the time. Now, you know, sometimes you think, well, that's obvious. I mean, can I, answer the question? It seems to be very, very simple. What Phil is saying is true. And why is that so brilliant, Phil? Well, first of all, there are times when we need a bigger government. There are times when the government has to take an active hand. There are times when the government has to step in and say, now hold the phone. We need to take a look at a couple of things. I can give you examples of that. But what's the point, man? I give examples all the time, every night on this show. And either people make the connection or they don't. As to the active hand federal efforts and federal support and help can have in a positive way. At the same time, a smaller government, when things are good and life is beautiful and we don't really have all that much unemployment, and yeah, there's a few unemployed people, but guess what? That's just going to have to be worked out between you and your God, something. Maybe get up off your ass, find a job. I don't know what to tell you, man, but the rest of the country seems to be doing fine. Small government sounds good then, when we're not being attacked by some foreign enemy, when we're not involved in some kind of military excursion, which necessitates a larger government. Only in this sense, it would be a larger government contributing to military. Beyond that, though, small government is a good idea when things are good, when things are bad. When people are saying, for instance, as they did this last, in the last 12 months, I own a car company, I need money, it's going out of business, will you please help? Now, we can tell them to go shove off because the small government people, why, that's just simple, isn't it? All you have to do is apply that philosophy to every single solitary problem that comes along, and the country's doing great. I got big news for anybody, and I don't care if it's the ghost of William F. Buckley. You cannot use the same remedy for every problem in life if we haven't learned that from our own personal lives, for God's sake. How else are we going to begin to understand it in the larger world around us? We don't apply the same antidote to the problems that we have. Why on God's earth and why in the name of God would we apply the same philosophy politically to every problem that comes along? And the progressives or the liberals or whatever you want to call them are just as stupid. That's why I want nothing to do with any of them. That's why I've divorced myself from all of them. That's why I'm going to make that point until I drop dead from a heart attack someplace, maybe on the air if we have any luck. Talk about ratings.
Yeah, we'd have a spike in the numbers then.
You better believe we'd have a spike in the numbers. So if it is an uncomfortable thing to tune into the Phil Henry Show and hear a guy who happens to think that conservatives, progressives, and Republicans and Democrats are about as attractive as a case of the crabs, and I'm dead serious when I say that, if that's uncomfortable, well, I don't know what to tell you. There's two things you can do. You can go back to thinking the way you've always thought, or whoever these people may be that want to think the way they've always thought, because it's a very comfortable thing. If a guy says to me, I'm a conservative, how come we bailed out Chrysler and GM? Tell me why, Phil. I will answer that question. We have a company, two companies, that represent a sizable workforce. We put a lot of people out on the street unemployed. You realize, of course, that's an encumbrance on the government of another kind. It's called unemployment. There are also social services that might have to be put into place or activated to take care of those people. There is also, with high unemployment, the very real possibility and quite frankly, reality of more civil, shall we say, unrest in the form of criminality. See, it costs either way. Well, it won't cost us that much. It won't cost us that much. If you want to look at the Depression, and we certainly have the Depression as an example, a lot of people look back on history, and you know, history doesn't lie. Some people pick up a history book, and they tear out a few pages, so things come out real hunky-dory for them. The fact is that during the Depression of the 30s, we did have rising and quite consistently high crime rates in some areas of this country. You know as well as I do that the criminality that was associated with the Depression had a lot to do with the ineffectiveness of our police, because the police back then were nowhere near as professional as the cops we got today. They didn't have the tools, and they didn't have the smarts, and they were getting their asses run all over hell's creation by every kind of bootlegger, organized criminal, and so on and so forth. Well, cops cost money. Guess what? Do you think that it was trimming the federal budget or state budgets that got better cops? Was it the trimming of the federal budget or the state budget that raised an army that was capable of fighting Japan in the Pacific? Was it a small government that was able to effect a two-front war, one in Europe and one in the Pacific, and help save this country and the rest of the world? Was that a small government idea? Was it a small government idea when government and corporations joined together and created things like daycare, like carpool, transportation, workman's comp, things like this? Was this a small government idea or a big government idea? Well, why was it big government? Because we had big problems, man. That's why. When we got small problems, man, I'm all for small government. I'm all for kicking people's asses off the welfare rolls, right? Now, that may endear me to some conservatives, but I got fair warning for you. There are going to be times when I don't particularly like to hang around with conservatives because they don't make any sense. Because, quite frankly, they're some of the stupidest people I've ever talked to in my life. And the same holds true for liberals. When we have a country that is doing fine, and I've got some pain-in-the-ass progressive reminding me of how much better it is in some other country, or how much better it could be here, and really, in point of fact, you're deluding yourself, Phil, because it's really just a cesspool. The corporations own everything. You know, that's just a lot of masturbation, okay? I'm not 11 years old anymore. I like women now. Not the magazine picture. You know, I like the real deal. In other words, I want the real facts of what's happening. I don't believe in utopia. I don't believe in utopia. I don't think it's possible. Not as long as human beings are human beings. It isn't going to happen. What can happen, though, is we become more enlightened in how we deal with problems. And we make the problems smaller. And we still hold on to a shred of our individual liberty. Now, if that means that Phil Henry is committing a mortal sin by not adhering to one political thought process or another, I could care less, to be perfectly honest with you. I don't care. Look, I'm watching the tube here the other day, and I'm looking at it. I'll use Glenn as an example, because Glenn is like a treasure trove of examples when it comes to this thing that I'm talking about. Do you believe, for instance, that when Glenn Beck said Obama's a racist, do you think he really thought that? Anybody want to take a guess? You think Glenn really believes Obama's a racist? Of course he doesn't. He knows that his audience will respond to that, though. And that's where I blame the audience before I blame Glenn. I don't blame him. I don't blame O'Reilly. I don't blame Oberfuhrer or Schuster or Punkface Matthews or Blockhead Martin. None of those guys, man. I don't blame them. I blame the audience. I blame a bunch of suckers that sit there and suck that stuff up, man, like it's God's own good wine, you know. Do you think that Glenn really believes that Obama wants to mount a civil defense force of armed paramilitary? Do you really think he believes that, as he was saying today? Do you really think he thinks that Obama really wants to put together this kind of civilian defense force that's sort of an auxiliary to the police? You know, that whole he wants to arm the people thing? Do you think he really believes that? Want to take a guess? No, he doesn't. Glenn's not a stupid man. He's not stupid. He knows what Obama said. But he knows that his audience wants to hear that. I blame the audience. I blame the people that suck that stuff up like it's medicine, man. They suck that up like it is the nectar of the gods. I blame anybody that listens to that and actually believes it. He is not about to say anything else because that drives viewers away from his program. It drives advertisers away, and it drives away audience, obviously, and the resultant money that you can make. So why would he say anything else? Now, what do I do? What I do is I take a completely different tack. I say, I'm going to tell the truth, how I feel, what's in the news, and you know what? I'll comment on it as I feel fit. And I think I can actually grow an audience by talking straight to people and not treating people as if they are, you know, as if they're gibbering, nose-picking fools, okay? Now, I realize that may be asking a lot of some people who are talk radio junkies, but I think it's possible. I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to give it a shot. So when I say to you that a congresswoman from Kansas uses the phrase Great White Hope, and she can be as stupid as she wants, morning, noon, and night. She can be as dumb as she wants. She can go home and spread the walls of her house with her own feces if she wants to. I don't care. It doesn't make any difference to me. But if you ask me, do I want to vote for her? Well, what do you think my answer is going to be? I know what Great White Hope means. If she doesn't, I'm sorry to hear that. She's stupid. She's stupid. And I'm not going to vote for someone like that. Doesn't mean that I'm not voting for her because she's a Republican. Here we got an Idaho Republican gubernatorial hopeful. He insists he was only joking when he said he'd buy a license to, quote, hunt President Barack Obama. Rex Rammel, a veterinarian and a former elk rancher, slated to run against the incumbent C.L. Butch Otter. Yeah, right.
Is that the guy's name, really?
Otter, yeah. And his sister-in-law, Mrs. Beaver, in the May 2010 GOP primary, made the comment at a Republican rally Tuesday in Twin Falls where talk turned to the state's planned wolf hunt, for which hunters must purchase an $11.50 wolf tag. When an audience member shouted a question about Obama tags, Rammel responded, "The Obama tags? We buy some of those." Now, let me tell you why I'm not so crazy about, and I'm not getting so nuts about this comment. While it is true that the hunting tags are for shooting and killing wolves, it's entirely, in my opinion, possible this guy was talking about hunting Obama from a political standpoint. Meaning, yeah, we got our sights set on Obama and we're going to knock him out of the White House in 2012. How many times have you heard the phrase, we got our sights set on? We got our sights set on. Anybody get nuts about that? Well, what do you think we got our sights set on comes from? It comes from the use of weapons. You put a sight on a target and you fire. Does anyone think that that has anything to do with murdering somebody? No. A figure of speech is a figure of speech. And the fact that he wants to, quote, hunt Obama, it's possible. That's what he meant. So I'm giving this jackass the benefit of the doubt. I mean, I'm doing all I can. Because I know that when you're standing there and you're ad-libbing and you're speaking in an impromptu setting, you will say things that can get away from you. And I'm not making any excuses. But you can say those things. Rammel told the Associated Press he was just being sarcastic. He sees no reason to apologize for the comment. The Times News of Idaho also reports that Rammel said his comment was a joke and he would never seriously talk about President Obama that way, although he doesn't support anything Obama's done as president. I was just being sarcastic. That was a joke. I would never support him being assassinated. Well, really? I mean, now, we do have free speech. Come on. Mr. Rammel, why don't you go ahead and say what you think? Obviously, you're not going to talk about the guy being assassinated. But anytime you say anything that's going to be misunderstood like that, something obvious like that, as a politician speaking to a public, you have to be mindful. Now, I gave this guy a break. I said, well, I can sort of see how he meant, you know, we have our sights set on Obama, but I'm giving him all fair due. I'm actually trying to give him give him something he can tell the press beyond this stupid bunch of crap that he laid on him about, well, I was just being sarcastic, I was just joking, I was just, you don't even know what sarcastic means, Rammel. Or is it Rommel? Rammel says, I'm probably safe. I'm not the one that started the whole thing. What I would say to all my Democratic Ohioans is take a deep breath and relax. We're not going to go out and hunt Obama, the former elk rancher. Anyway, he doesn't sound too bright, but I'm trying to give him a little bit of space here, right? I'm trying to say maybe what he meant is we have our sights set on the guy. But the point is this. The Republican Party, and I made this point at the beginning of the show, and I'll say it again. The Republican Party has nothing. They got nothing, man. They got nothing going for them. They don't have a presidential candidate that anybody's excited about. Their local candidates seem to be a very poor representation of even intelligent people. I don't know that these are forward-thinking people. I don't think they're original-thinking people. They sound like a bunch of paranoid and parochial individuals. That have only one answer, small government. They don't recognize the problems that face this country. They have no coherent response to any of these problems. If you're a Republican, and more of you I know are now calling yourselves conservatives, yeah, that's nice and safe, okay. And if that's the case, if you're a Republican, and you really are a Republican, you better take a look at that. And you got to get this stupid dead weight out of your party, okay? And if that means you have to distance yourself from your inflexible, dogmatic, and really not very intelligent conservative brethren, well, then you're going to have to do that. Either way, you know, time's a-wasting. And I'll tell you something else. You may have to give up on the idea of being a political party at all. The only thing you got going for you is this. The perception that somehow Obama's screwing the country up, and enough people may go to the polls and vote Republican just because they're paranoid over what it is that Obama's attempting to do. And you guys will take advantage of that. You'll get people elected, and then you won't know what to do. You won't know what to do. You'll sit there with your thumbs parked up your asses like you did. All those years, you thought you had the whole thing locked up, man. I mean, you thought you had everything, all the hatches battened down. Everything's good, right? And you got your ass handed to you, and you're walking around in a daze right now talking about Sarah Palin. Sarah Palin, she's not an antidote to anything, man. She's not even an antidote to sore eyes. She's not an antidote to a guy that hasn't seen a woman in years. I hate to break the news. All right, so we'll be back here. That's about as clear as I can make it. This guy in Idaho, C.L. Butch Otter and Rex Rammel, just a couple of jackballs talking about hunting Obama. I wouldn't get too crazy about it, but Rammel, ram it. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. A court strikes down a law requiring Homeland Security officials to credit God in their reports. Are you kidding? We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show. That's got to be a joke. Double check that.
Matt said it right here.
Phil Henry. It's the Phil Henry Show.
David G. Hall joining us. David, how are you?
Yeah, no, I'm doing good, Phil. I'm over at one of the radio conventions. Here in town, and playing a little bit of your show for some of the affiliates, hopefully affiliates we're going to get.
What radio convention?
I don't know. It's one of these radio conventions that we have. I know your audience is listening, and they're probably not familiar, but I'm out here at the marina.
Marina Del Rey?
Yeah, I'm at the Marina Del Rey, and I'm talking to some people.
So is it the radio and records?
I'd have to go out front and look at the banner. I don't know what it is, but I know it's the same people, you know, and... how you doing? One of the guys just went by that I'm pitching your show to some of these some of these radio stations and to some of the affiliates and to some of the advertisers. Now I heard the conversation you had with a guy last hour, and the guy said that you are trying to play it both ways. And I tried to explain to this one affiliate,
Truth is our bitch.
Yeah, well, I can't say that.
Well, that we try to just go for truth. We don't care whether it's conservative or liberal.
They don't understand that. They don't understand that.
Well, what do you mean they don't understand that?
I can't. What am I going to do? Pitch? He's not liberal or conservative. They don't understand that. The average guy that runs a radio station wouldn't know what to do if I told him that. So I came up with the idea of calling your show a libservative. And a libservative philanthropy show overnights across America.
What do you mean, libservative? What is that, liberal and conservative?
Well, give the man a cigar. Yeah, it's liberal or conservative. I'm trying to come up with something, some kind of a hook, some kind of a tag that's going to make your show something these people understand.
Well, I don't know if maybe we can come.
Wait. What are you second guess? I don't have to do this on the air. I thought I would say this on the air because I thought you'd say, yeah, I like it. I didn't know you were going to give me an argument. You understand what I'm saying, right?
I'm sorry to give you an argument, David. I think libservative sounds ridiculous.
Well, then what are you calling? Don't tell me truth is your whatever you call it, okay? Because that turns off a lot. They don't like to hear that word. And it is not easy pitching a show like yours because you're not a... You're not like this, you know what? I was going to show you what I was going to do. If I don't get your show affiliated, I feel like sucking on the wrong end of a leaf blower. Do we have time for that?
No, we do not.
I'm going to do it anyway. Goodbye, cruel world. Okay. No, wait a minute. That wasn't it.
Phil Henry.